shall be well with you on other days. But on this particular day of the birth of Jesus, it is well. It is well. It is well. In the name of Jesus, it is well with your soul today. Lord, praise and take your seat. The birthday celebration of an ordinary big mortal is a big thing. How much more the birth celebration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I welcome you again. This morning would look at a very lengthy reading. And that will be Luke chapter 2, verse 1, all the way to verse 14. And I'd like you to read with me, if you can. And if it is possible to stand for the reading of the word, just honoring God, and then read it as sharp as we can. Let's go. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Give the Lord a big clap for this reading of the word. And you might be seated. I want to quickly this morning speak on the birth of Christ. Just the birth of Christ. And our objective is twofold. Understanding the birth of Christ. And also understanding what God demonstrated at the birth of Christ. Understanding that birth. Understanding what God demonstrated at the birth of Christ. And then understanding our response to his birth. What do we do? How do we respond? The birth of Christ. What God demonstrated at that birth. And how we respond. By way of introduction and what we all know, that the birth of Christ remains the most celebrated event in the history of mankind. The most celebrated by Christians and non-Christians alike. There are places you go on the earth today that are not Christian nations at all, that have more celebrations in terms of how the whole place looks like than even in some Christian places. I said many times, many years ago, my wife and I went to the country of Singapore, and that was in the month of November, I believe, between October and November. And the whole streets was lighted with light all manner. And I asked them, I said, what's going on? And they say it's Christmas celebration. It's Christmas decoration. That was literally more than a month before the actual time. It is the most colorful and the most decorated celebration also in the history of mankind. The challenge, however, is many people don't understand the meaning of the celebration.
They don't understand the meaning of the decoration. They don't understand why the joy, why the celebration, why the decoration. They don't understand anything. As a matter of fact, the birth of the sinless Son of God, the day of the birth, is the day of some of the most terrible iniquities, drunkenness, alcoholism, and all manner of things, because people don't know exactly what they are celebrating. I've been in the hospital before as a young medical doctor on call on Christmas Day, where at least I saw at least one person who was brought in dead, drunk on Christmas Day. More like going straight to hell on Christmas Day. So, what is the birth of Christ? First of all, by introduction, it is the celebration. First, number one, is the celebration of heaven's invasion of the earth. We are celebrating the invasion of heaven into the earth. Secondly, it is the celebration of the invasion of immortality unto mortality. Heaven invaded the earth. Immortality invaded mortality. That is the one that cannot die, decided to become the one that could die. Thirdly, it is the celebration of the invasion of invisibility into the realm of visibility. The invasion of invisibility into the realm of visibility. It is the time where the God we could not see before became the God we can now see. Heaven invaded the earth. Mortality invaded immortality. Invisibility invaded visibility. It is the celebration of divinity into humanity. It is the celebration of divinity's invasion into humanity. The celebration of God becoming man. God becoming man, divinity becoming humanity. It is the celebration of the season where the Son of God became the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He became the Son of Man. And like one commentator said, the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that sons of men can become the children of God. Jesus Christ came from the celestial realm into the terrestrial realm. He is the celestial terrestrial junction. He is the divino-humanity junction. The junction of divinity, where divinity and humanity met. Where heaven and earth met. Where God and man met. In Jesus you see God, in him also you see man. In him you see perfect divinity. In him also you see humanity in his perfection. How human should have been and lived. It is that invasion. That's what we're celebrating. Fifthly, it is a celebration of incorruption into corruption. From the realm that is not corrupt to the realm that is fully corrupt. The sinless God took on the body of sinful man. That is the celebration. Having said all of that, very exciting to note is that Jesus gives us a perfect junction of all possibilities. A perfect junction. that what was possible with only God could become possible with man at the junction of Jesus. But we'll speak about that later. Having said all of that, when Christ was born, what exactly was born? Because it wasn't just the birth of Christ that mattered, but what was born, or the implication of the birth. Number one, it was the birth of God's gift. When Christ was born, it wasn't just that a person was born, a gift was born. It was the birth of God's gift to mankind, God's best gift. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave," so give, he gave, it's a gift, he gave his only begotten son. He gave. It's the birth of a gift. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" In Christ, we have access to whatever God can afford. Did you hear what I just said? In Christ, we have access to everything God can afford. In Christ, whatever is affordable by God is available for man. If it is affordable by God, it's available for man. It is the celebration of God's gift. That God is a lover and a giver. The meaning is, if Christ was not too big for him to give, there is nothing too big for him to give you. It's the celebration of God's gift, God's best gift. And when man gives, when some men give, they give you the worst. When God gives, he gives the best. I've experienced that many times. When man gives you, they give you what is left. When God gives, he gives what is best. Man can give you out of the rest of what they have. God gives you the very best of what he has. Is God speaking to anybody here? And I stand here to announce today, get ready, because God is about to give you the best of what he has. He's about to give you the best of brains and the best of graces and the best of giftings and the best of resources. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. And I don't know who I've been sent to here this morning, but I am anointed to announce to you, if God can give you the gift of his son, there is nothing that the devil can keep back from you in this season. Everything that is needed and necessary for your life, for godliness, for life and godliness, that is needed by you today, I declare they are released through the gift of Christ in the name of Jesus.
1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 21, he said, "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." All things are yours. All things are yours. It is the birth. I'm sure you noticed that in Christmas, there is always the flow of gifts. Christmas gift. I'm sure you know that. It is the spirit of Christmas. It is the spirit of the birth of Christ, where God gave his son as a gift.
Nobody taught anybody that on Sunday morning, on Christmas Day morning, like the pastor said, your mother will send you to carry food, rices and goats and all of that to another compound. They will send their own in exchange. All right? One of the most frustrating things for a little child is the end of Christmas Day. Because it's a day that is meant to be endless. And the day before Christmas is the longest day on earth. Will Christmas not come? And then when the day comes, must Christmas end? Must it end? Do you understand? It is the spirit of Christmas. It's the spirit of givings, the spirit of giftings, the spirit of releases and receivings. Is God speaking to anybody here today? And that is why I believe that if God originally and at first gave his son and he couldn't keep back the son, what is an ordinary marriage that God cannot settle for you? What is the fruit of the womb that God cannot settle? Hey! What is an ordinary job that God cannot release for you? What is an ordinary financial resources or grace or gifting that God can't give you? If he didn't hold back Jesus from you, there is nothing he will hold back from you, and there is nothing the devil can hold back from you. If you are receiving God's gift to you on this Christmas season, scream, I receive. Say, I receive 3 times. I'd like you to use this day as a prophetic vehicle to step into the realm of what you are trusting God for, what you are trusting from God for you. Lord, you have given me your son. As we celebrate the gift of your son today, I receive all the other gifts from you that I have been expecting from you. And before this year expires, you shall be receiving the releases coming your way. Shout the Lord and say amen. Let's go on. It is the birth, please take your seat, of God's seed. God's seed. In bracket, you can put sacrifice. God sowed a seed. He gave us a seed, and that is called Jesus. No wonder he spoke earlier on and he said, the seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, when he was laying the curse on the serpent, he said, the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. So Jesus came to the earth as a seed. No wonder he said in John chapter 12 and in verse 23, all the way to verse 24, he said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. But a corn, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground, or a seed corn wheat fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So Jesus is the seed. We are the fruit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in John chapter 1 verse 12, he said, as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. He is the son of God. God sowed the seed of a son so that he can reap the harvest of many sons. Now, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 to verse 11, the Bible said, For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified, that is Jesus, and those of us who are sanctified, all of us, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I want you to know the implication of this. That Jesus is the seed. And you and I, who believe in Jesus, we are the fruit. See the weight of the implication. When last did somebody sow mango and expect orange? It is the mango you sowed that you expect to reap. It is the corn you planted
that you expect to harvest. It is the yam you planted that you expect to harvest. When God sowed Jesus, he was expecting little Jesuses. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Acts 11:26. Christian means little Christ. Christ-like. So when God planted his son, he didn't plant yam and expected what I am. He didn't sow maize and then began to reap any other thing. The meaning of this to you is that your life is meant to be Christ-like, both in character, in authority, and in power. What cannot be said of Christ? Have you ever heard that a witch killed Christ? Or a wizard cut him short? Or a wicked man, when they wanted to kill him, he said, "No man taketh my life from me. Don't think you are killing me. I am the one laying down my life. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up." Have you ever seen Christ with dull mind? Bible say we have the mind of Christ. He had the electricity of mentality. He can preach and do everything without making any, looking at any note. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? If you can get the understanding today that God planted Jesus so that out of your life he can reap Jesus, he can reap Christ in love, in compassion, in character, in your feeling for human beings, feeling for God, in your mentality, your mindset, and also in your force of influence on the earth, in your authority and in power. That you are not oppressible by any devil. You are not harassable by any devil. You are not wastable by any power. You can't be a victim of an ancestral curse or a generational curse. Because you are the harvest of a seed. Anywhere palm tree is planted and it grows, it will behave like the original palm tree that does not know dry season, that is connected to subterranean waters, that has every department of it flourishing. It's not a matter of where you planted a palm tree. It's a matter of what the palm tree carries. That is why a lizard in Nigeria does not become a crocodile in America. That is why an antelope in Africa does not become an elephant in Europe. Who you are here is who you will be anywhere in the world. I don't feel inferior to nobody under heaven. White, black, yellow, green, blue. I can respect you, but no inferiority. Anywhere I am, globally, I walk with audacity. Because I know who I am. I know what I have been made in Christ. Look at your neighbor, say you are the fruit of a seed. If you want to understand yourself, understudy the seed. Hey! Hey! I announce to somebody, I prophesy today, as you receive this revelation, I decree that you are going to move higher in the character and the nature of Christ, in the love of Christ, with the heart of Christ, with the influence of Christ, with the power of Christ, with the authority of Christ, with the force of Christ, with the unstoppability of Christ. You believe me? Shout the loudest, amen. See, after me say the birth of Christ. Please take your seat. The birth of Christ is the birth of God's gift. and is the birth of God's seed.
Number three,
it is the birth of life. God's life. These things are very important, not for theoretical purpose, but for application purpose. It's the birth of life, dash, God's life or the life of God.
Man lost life, the life of God, when man sinned. All have sinned.
Romans chapter 3 verse 23, I'm falling short of the glory of God.
Romans chapter 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Wages of sin is death. So man died. There was a need for the life of God to be reintroduced. And that was why Christ was born. In John chapter 14 and in verse 3, he said, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 6, verse 51, again, I am the living bread, life-giving bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Now, but this is the master of the verses on life. John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to kill and to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, on the contrary, that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Somebody say abundant life. That is Zoe. Somebody say Zoe. That's the Greek word that was used for that life. Now, what is this life all about? What life? I'm going to itemize about 5 or 6 meanings of this life to you. Number one, it means divine life. The life of God. The God kind of life. Second, it refers to spiritual life. That is the life that makes spirituality effortless. That is, you are effortlessly spiritual, effortlessly prayerful. Third, it means meaningful life. Life that has meaning. Not meaningless life. Meaningful. There are people today say, I don't even know the meaning of my life. That is not of God. Meaningful life. Fourth, it means quality life, qualitative. A life that is enviable. It's so qualitative, somebody looks at you, he wants to be like you. Not the kind of life that somebody... Somebody went with us for some programs and he saw the movement and saw how things are going. He said, this is life at its peak. Touching lives around the world with effortless ease. Quality life. Number 6, is that right? 5, it is purposeful life. Life that has direction. Not a life that is purposeless, useless. You woke up in the morning, you don't know what to do with your life. No, it is purposeful life. Directionful life. Are you still ready? 6. It means wholesome life. You are well. You are well. You are not married to drugs. You are whole. Your mind is well. Your body is well. Your heart is well. Your lungs are well. Your kidneys are well. Hey! You are not a victim, a candidate of demonic oppressions. You are whole. You are nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Somebody shout, I am well. Say, I have Zoe life. I have the God kind of life. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you ready for the seventh? It is durable life. Abundant life is life in quantity. It's quantitative life, durable. It's quality and quantity. When it is your time to go, no mortal man will be able to say, I killed him. It is life that is durable. It is life that is not wastable. It is life that is not a destroyable life by enemies. That is the birth of Christ is the birth of life. Hey! I don't know how to preach this thing to make it enter into your system today. But I decree right now, every trace of death in your life, in your body, in your system is cleaned out right now. Every trace of death, every trace of destruction by the birth of Christ is cleared out right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare now. I'd like you to say all those things after me. Say after me, say, I have divine life. The life of God, spiritual life, effortless spirituality. I have meaningful life. I have quality life. I have purposeful life. I have wholesome life. I have durable life. Take your seat. You know, each of what I am saying is a message of his own. And that could be preached for 1 hour, but yeah, it's the birth of God's gift. It's the birth of God's seed. It's the birth of life. Number four, it is the birth of hope.
You are always there to help. You are always there to help me.
Even when no one else was there. You're always there for me.
Even when I can't feel you.
Even when I cannot trust you. I still have faith in your word. That you are.
Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. It said, Christ, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The birth of Christ is the birth of hope.
When we are talking about hope, the birth of hope, we are talking about the birth of answer. Answer. Savior means solution, answer, the birth of answer, the birth of solution. In Luke chapter 2 verse 11, when he was referring to the angel, they were referring to the birth of the Savior. Say, for unto us, to you this day, is born in the city of David, a Savior, a solution, an answer, which is Christ the Lord. It is the birth of answer. It is the birth of hope. It is confirming to you that no matter the situation, all hope is not lost. Hope is not lost. He is the actual answer to every question or every challenge of mankind. The actual answer. The actual answer. Let me categorize these questions and these challenges into five categories. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 to verse 5. We looked at this briefly on Tuesday healing service. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our sorrows. He has borne our grief. The word grief, there's the word pain. So the first answer he came to provide is for pain. He carried our sorrows. Number two, depression, frustration, sadness. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. Number three is iniquity. He came to answer the sin question. Maybe you have a bondage you cannot handle.
An addiction you are battling with, he has the answer.
So the pain, the sorrow, the transgression, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know, peace, the absence of peace is the presence of crisis. Fourth answer is the answer to crisis. Crisis, battle. You are in a crisis situation, a battle situation. There is hope. He's the answer for it. And by his stripes, we are healed. Number five is sickness. Somebody say he's the answer to my pain. He's the answer to every sorrow. He's the answer to my sins. He's the answer to my battles and crises. He's the answer to my sicknesses. Somebody said there is hope for me. In the midst of pain, there is hope for me. In the midst of frustration, there is hope for me. In the confrontation of sin, there is hope for me. In the midst of crisis and battles, there is hope for me. In the midst of affliction, I have my answer in the name of Jesus. Christ, the answer, is going to answer somebody today. He is already answering somebody now. If you are that one, say louder, amen. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your hope is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the way you feel. He can help
and he can save. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
Say, Father, thank you for hope. Thank you for answer. Thank you for solution. I decree upon somebody here today, every area of your life where you are in need of answer, where you are in need of solution, where you are in need, every area of your life, on this day of the birth of our Savior, I declare the answer is released. I declare the solution is released. Receive it now.
In the name of Jesus, and so shall it be. So it is the birth of God's gift, the birth of God's seed, the birth of life. God's life is the birth of hope. Number five, it is the birth of light. It is the birth of light. Light in a very dark world. The birth of light.
How many of us remember that one of the most strategic things that happened when the birth of Christ was announced was the arrival of light? In Luke chapter 2 verse 8, the Bible says the light shone, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. The light came, the glory shone. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star
star is big sunlight in the east. And we are come to worship him. His birth was heralded with light. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 16, he said the land of Zebulun, the people that sat in darkness, they saw great light. And to them, we sat in the region on the shadow of death, light is sprung up. John chapter 8 verse 12. Are you tired of the references? No, you shouldn't. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 9 verse 5.
Light of the world, you step down.
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Light of the world, light of the world, you step down into darkness.
Open my eyes, you let me see.
Beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow, here I am to say,
Lord, you're my
God.
You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful, wonderful. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say,
you're all.
You're all together lovely. All together. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful.
I'll never know
how much it cost.
How much it cost to see a sea upon the cross.
I'll never know. How much
it costs to see a sea upon the cross.
I'll never know.
How much it costs to see.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether worthy,
altogether wonderful, wonderful to me.
What light are we talking about? He came. He was born as light to help us deal with the darknesses of life, the force of darkness. John 1:5 said the light shines in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. by the birth of Christ, you are not meant, you are not permitted to be the victim of the darkness of your father's house, of the darkness of your lineage, the darkness of your community. By the birth of Christ, he has come as light of direction. You can never miss road if you follow his principles. Can note that you will never miss, as a leader, as a business person, anything you are, just align with his principles and his steps. Can never, never miss road.
The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow him. My God knows the way to the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow him.
It's the light of direction. Are you in the confusion here right now? Are you trusting God for a particular step or move to make? Trust him right now. He's giving you light and he's giving you direction. Say a louder amen. Finally, it's light of development. How many of you know that Christianity is responsible for development in the world? The revivals in the days of John Wesley was a turning point for the Industrial Revolution in Europe, in Britain. The Mechanical Revolution started in Germany with the invention of the Wittenberg Press, started in the days of Martin Luther, the first one. Every explosive revolution in history is traceable. The Pauline epistles, they are responsible for modern civilization. The law of Moses is the basis of common law and the law of nations. The great percentage of the inventions in the world by Isaac Newton, Michael Faraday, and all of those people, they came from the anointed minds of Christians. Remove Christianity out of history, development collapse. There will be nothing like Oxford because it's a Christian university started. Nothing like Cambridge, nothing like Harvard. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That is your own life as a person. You experience development by that light. You cannot have an arrested progress. You cannot have a stunted life. You can't have a local life under development or primitive existence. I announce today, in the name of Jesus, this light shall make the difference in somebody's life. Every trace of darkness around your life, I declare that darkness is collapsed right now. In the name of Jesus, I decree today, every trace of confusion disappears by the birth of the Christ. Receive direction. Receive development. I've said so many things this morning, but five things that were born with the birth of Christ. There are many, many more, but for the sake of the time we have, is the birth of God's gift. And you know the implication of that. It was the birth of God's seed. You know what that means to you? It is the birth of God's life. It's the birth of hope, answer, solution. It is the birth of light. Before I draw the conclusion, there were at least three things that God demonstrated by the birth of Christ. Now, what we just saw is what was born when Christ was born. But now, what did God demonstrate when he allowed Christ, or when Christ was born? Number one, it was the demonstration of unconditional love. For God so loved the world that he gave. The demonstration of unconditional love. Love without conditions.
unconditional love. There is a scripture that touches me all the time. It is in Romans, right? John chapter 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. But now if you look at Romans chapter 5 verse 6 to verse 8. It says, for when we were yet without strength. Okay, start from verse 5. It said, I hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He said, hardly for a righteous man will anybody die. That is, this man is righteous. Let me die for him. He said, it's very hard for anybody to agree to die for somebody who is perfect. Peradventure, for a good man, some may dare. But look at what he did for us. But God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners. That is, you are rebelling against the man, he's dying for you. While we gave him no hope that we will change. While we did not encourage him with good life, he still sent his son. It is called unconditional love. And I can say that somebody should be able to learn that today. And pardon your wife, your husband, your father, your mother, your children. Unconditional love. We did not encourage him with good life. We didn't encourage him with a changed life. Our lives were still bad. Yet, he sent his son, the demonstration of unconditional love. Number two, it was the demonstration of infallible purpose. Purpose that can't fail. Infallible. That God is a God of purpose, and if he has purposed it, it is not fallible. It's not fallible. It's not fallible. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 24 and 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have proposed, so shall it stand. Verse 27. For the Lord of hosts has proposed, and who shall disannul? And his hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? In Genesis 3:15, he talked about the seed of the woman coming, and he maintained it. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. He said, unto us a child is born. That was a prophecy almost 2,000 years before Jesus was born. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. All these were said ahead of time. And God went ahead to make sure it came to pass. I declare today, in the name of Jesus, whatever be the purpose of God for your life, for this year, no devil shall tamper with it. Whatever be the plan and the purpose of God for you in the land of the living, no devil shall alter it. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen.
I want to love and love and love, Lord, like you do. For when you love someone, you love them all the way. You give the best to all. I want to thank you for loving the way you do. I want to love and love and love, Lord, like you do. For when you love someone, you love them all the way. You give the best you have to all those that you love. I want to thank you for loving me. Verse 2. I want to love and love and love, Lord, like you do. For your capacity to love cannot run out. You're never tired of caring for those you love. To praise you for loving. Your love has made, your love has made a world of difference in my life. I was that stone that was rejected by the world, but when you placed your loving hands upon my life, you lifted me above the roads. Your world has made, your world has made a world of difference. I was a stone that was rejected by the world, but when you placed the loving hands upon my life, you lifted me above the walls away. It was a demonstration of unconditional love. It was a demonstration of infallible purpose. Thirdly, you know that the Lamb of God was already slain in the heart, in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. And from that foundation of the world, he maintained his purpose until he was born. The purpose of God for your life, hear this, no matter how long it takes, it shall come to pass. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. The purpose of God for your life, no matter how long it takes, it shall come to pass. And finally, it was the demonstration of incredible possibility. Somebody say incredible possibility. Incredible. 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 Luke chapter 1 verse 45. And blessed is he that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which we had told her from the Lord. Earlier on, I believe it was in verse 37, say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. The Holy, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. When the angel was telling Mary, now, look at the impossibility. I'd like you to look at this very, and then I'll be rounding off shortly. God wanted his son to be born. And he decided that a man and a woman should not meet, but a son should be born. We saw all manner of miracles in the Old Testament. Sarah gave birth when it was past age. Hannah, but they met. Eli was the name of the man. Elkanah knew his wife, and God remembered her. This one, there was no knowing. No meeting at all. That's the extreme of impossibility. The laws of biological sciences were set aside. Reproductive biology mesmerized. Protocol bypassed, suspended. Am I communicating? But you know what is, to me, even the greater miracle? How God, who sits in heaven, and the earth is his footstool. See the length of his leg. Who sits in heaven, and he's putting his leg on the earth. How many light years? And that God became man and entered into a womb and agreed for a woman's womb to carry him. Or is he carrying the woman? This is how it is. Man, I want a big person here who is really, really big and giant. Maybe a 6-footer. Yes, uncle, come. You are not short at all. This guy wants to pass a message across to ants. He wants to draw their attention. He wants to talk to them. He wants to fulfill a purpose among them.
He wants to see how he can just impact them and change them and talk with them and relate with them. But when he say ant, they started running. He matched his leg, they disappeared. So he decided to become an ant. How is that? One tissue of his body is equal to many ants. He contracted, collapsed. All the bones and tendons and ligaments and arteries and the big lungs he has and the liver and the diaphragm and the kidneys and the ureters and every single thing, the big thigh muscles contracted into ant size. And he began to walk among ants and began to communicate with ants, and they understood him. And he said, ants, I want to die for you to rescue you from the oppression of bigger animals. Thank you. That was what God did. As God, far above there, if he says, come, what you hear is thunder. If he says something else, lightning. So he said, in this realm that I am, I can't meaningfully relate with them. I can't achieve anything among them. The easiest way to achieve it is to become like them. So Atlantic Ocean emptied into a Coke bottle. The Mount Everest became a piece of dust. So he can relate with dust. It's a miracle. He's the master of how that happened. How that could happen. How invisibility can become visibility. Immortality can become mortality. How the measureless God can become measurable man. What is that saying to you? That with the God we serve, anything is possible. That is why the building of a small house like this couldn't be anything to him. That the massive, the big God we serve, anything is possible with him. I decree to somebody here today, you are at the end of all your impossibilities. I decree today, you are at the beginning of all your possibilities. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Beloved, proceed and understand that God demonstrated his love. Walk in that love. He demonstrated incredible possibility, an infallible purpose. Realize that if God has proposed it, 1 million devils can't stop it. And realize that we serve the God of incredible possibility. Anything can happen in God according to his purpose. In conclusion this morning, what do we do to respond to the birth of Christ? What do we do? Number one, we respond, number one, with deep appreciation and worship. Deep appreciation. Matthew chapter 2 verse 11. The Bible said, they came to worship. When they came to the house, they saw the young child with his mother and they fell down. Deep appreciation. Don't flow in murmurings. Don't flow in grumblings. Don't flow in complaints. So you don't call pains. If there is no other season where you have found any reason to thank God, thank him for the birth of his son. Thank God for what you understand, and he will do for you what you don't understand. I can't understand how my life is going. Thank him for what you understand. You understand now the birth of Christ, what was born when he was born, what God demonstrated. Thank God for what you understand. Thank him deeply and let him do for you what you don't understand. Thank him for what you can see and let him release for you what you can't see. Thank him, appreciate him deeply for what you have and let him give to you what you don't have. Second, we respond, number one, with deep appreciation and worship. And number two, we respond with total submission. Total submission. Total submission means here is my life.
Lord, I am all yours. Own me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Use me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Own me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Use me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Use me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Own me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Own me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Use me, Lord, I am all yours.
Total submission. Total submission. Total submission. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I submit my life to live for you. Number three is complete donation. The Bible said that when they bow down, they open their treasures. All I have is yours. My time is yours. My resources, my money. Matthew 2:11. They open their treasures. That is, there is nothing you are holding back from God.
Lord, I'm in your hands, holding nothing back. Till I become all you have in mind for me. Till I become all you have in mind for me. Oh, Lord, I'm in your hands, holding nothing back. Walk on me, O Lord, not in and out. Comfort me, O Lord, unto your plan. Till I become all you have in mind for me. Oh, till I become all you have in mind for me.
This song is coming out in the next album. Lord, I'm holding nothing back. Holding nothing back from you. Donation. They opened their treasures and released. All I have, all I am, is yours. Total donation. Total donation. We respond with complete donation. And finally, for today, number four, we respond with faithful representation. We represent him faithfully to our generation. The love he has shown us, we show people. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 15. That he died for us. That they, and that he died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You represent him. Let your world feel his love. Let your world feel his love. Let your world feel his love. In what we do, in leading others to Christ. If Jesus is worth it at all for your life, he is worth sharing with others. It's worth it. What kind of Christian life is this? You have never preached to anybody, never led anybody to Christ. Nobody ever followed you to church. But how many of us advertise our good cloth, our good hairstyle? Where did you make this hair? Oh, so and so place. Where did you get this suit? Oh, so and so place. How are you able to get your documentation done? This is how I did it. Yet, we have never been able to show anybody the road to heaven. That's not life. The real life is the life that is shared. You share the possibilities of your life with others, the opportunities, your favors, you share the love of God in your life. You share it. Whatever is shared multiplies. Whatever is kept shrinks. When the 5 loaves and 2 fishes were shared, it multiplied. You want God to multiply his grace in your life, his favor in your life, his power in your life. Share it. Friends, I welcome you to a most wonderful Christmas celebration. Your life will never remain the same. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the gift of God that is born in you will release for you every other thing you are trusting God for. Say aloud, amen. I declare that the seed that God has sown in sending Jesus will bear the fruit he expects out of your life. In the name of Jesus, I decree that the life of God will swallow up death out of your life. Can you say a louder amen? I declare answer, solution to every area of question in your life. Say a louder amen. I decree the release of light, the release of light in your darkness. Say the loudest amen. May you become a demonstrator of the love of God. May your life demonstrate that the purpose of God is infallible. May your life demonstrate that everything is possible with God through the birth of Jesus. And I say, grace for continuous appreciation be released upon you. Grace for total submission be released upon you. Grace for complete donation be released upon you. Grace for faithful representation be released upon you. Stand up on your feet, lift up your hands, and let's give the Lord the praise. Begin to thank the Lord and worship him for what you received. Worship him, honor him. Thank him for the word he just received. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. I want to take a song of surrender. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Everybody sing, Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, by the truth.
my voice, Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me
to be a
sanctuary.
Pure and
holy. Try the
one more time. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Your glory, fire and fever, reach and fever. I'll be anywhere.
Going to take this message and say, take it one by one to pray. We'll be here till today. But Father, let this message of Christ's birth find practical fulfillment in my life, practical expression. Let this message of the birth of the Christ find practical fulfillment.
Anywhere you are, while we are praying that prayer, your own desire right now is to surrender to Jesus completely, to have your sins forgiven, to want today to become a new day in your life. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, step forward here, and let me receive you. While the prayer is on, you're carrying your Bible and your bag, and you're saying, today, the birth of Christ shall become also my spiritual birthday. My spiritual birthday, or the day of rededication. I want to renew my relationship with God. I want to rededicate myself. First of all, I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Christ. Second, I want to rededicate myself to God. Third, I want an addiction broken, a lifestyle. I am battling. He already solved my addictions. He cured me from smoking, drinking, womanizing, whatever it is. I want the yoke of it broken. While they are coming out, as you come with your Bibles and your bags. While they are doing so, the rest of us, you lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father,
say, Father,
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
And I ask that the birth of Christ will find this message of the birth of the Master will find practical expression, practical fulfillment in my life. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, go on ahead and pray. This message of the birth of Christ will find practical fulfillment in my life. This message find practical fulfillment in my life. Let every addiction be broken. Anywhere you are around the world, step forward here. Let this message of the birth of Christ in the name of Jesus. Each of us, I say, Father,
let my generation
see your Lord in my life. See your purpose in my life. Let my generation see your possibility in my life. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, go on ahead and pray. Pray. Let my generation see your Lord in my life. Let them see your purpose in my life. Let them see your possibility in my life.
Masarata sero dublayada. Lerota sete fina gagalala. Ikarada galala. Your Lord in my life. Your purpose in my life. Your possibility in my life. Your Lord in my life. Your purpose in my life. Your possibility in my life. Your Lord in my life. Your purpose in my life. Your possibility in my life. Mashallah. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. So shall it be.
Amen.
Those in the front, place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me. And say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I surrender my life to you. Today, it is my decision to follow you. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward, never. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So shall it be. And the people, the communion servants and ministers will come forward as I pray upon this communion. That every single thing declared regarding the birth of Jesus be released and be fulfilled in your life. In the name of Jesus. I decree today that this communion will communicate his life. His God's gift. As you take the communion, every other thing that you want to receive from God, may it pass through this gift.
Every other thing
passes through this gift. As he is God's seed,
may your life
begin to bring forth after the character and the nature of Christ.
In the name of Jesus,
may the life of God swallow up as you take this. May the life of God enter, and may that life of God swallow up every disease or death in your body in the name of Jesus. There is hope. May you receive answer to every question as we take his body and his blood in the name of Jesus. I speak also, light of direction be released for you. Light of direction, light of direction, light of direction, light of direction be released for you in the name of Jesus. May his love flow in your heart like never before. May his purpose be enforced in your life. May the purpose of the enemy be uprooted. May you step into the realm of all possibilities in the name of Jesus. And of course, be assisted to live in appreciation, in submission, in complete donation, and in full representation of Jesus to your generation. Father, thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering. In Jesus' precious name, amen.